After Thessalonians, before Hebrews, before Titus, in Timothy, chapter 1, we're going to be looking at some various verses in 1st and 2nd Timothy. Our subject is truth. Truth. There is a lot of misconception out there about truth. There is a lot of people that say whatever you believe is the truth, and whatever is your reality, that is the truth. But when it comes to God, there is only one truth. And as Paul was writing this letter to Timothy, to encourage him in the ministry, to give him some guidelines for the church, and encourage him, we're going to look at truth in 1st and 2nd Timothy. Chapter 1 of Timothy. Chapter 1 of Timothy, verse 10. 1:10 of Timothy. For the whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for man-stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. God committed him and trusted him to preach the blessed gospel, glorious gospel. Verse 12, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Paul was given charge as an apostle. He was an apostle of Jesus Christ. And he was given a charge. He was given a commitment. He was given a responsibility. A very large responsibility. And a very important responsibility. As he was trained by God with the glorious gospel of blessed God. And he committed it to his trust to carry on the truth of the gospel. Go over with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. I'll get it right here in a minute. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. Who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth? For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. And verse 7 is kind of our main verse here. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity, which is means truth also. Verity, the truth. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we just thank you for what you've given us, and we thank you for these encouragements for Paul. Let us stand upon the truth and let us be aware of what responsibility that you've laid in our hands. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You see, Jesus wants everyone to be saved. You notice here it says, come to the knowledge of the truth in verse 4. That means you know what the truth is. That means you understand the truth. And that is our goal as a witness for Jesus, is to proclaim the truth of the gospel and make sure they understand the truth. The Great Commission didn't say go out and save people. It says go out and teach. We can't save anybody. And you know that there's some salesmen out there that could sell a refrigerator to an Eskimo. Well, though they use some of those same tactics to get someone to ask Jesus to save them. And all it was a sales pitch, some tactics, a setup, and it wasn't from the Holy Spirit. But when you teach someone the truth, the knowledge of the truth, then they have to make a decision. When they understand what sin is and what hell is, when they understand what Jesus is, when they understand what salvation is, then they have to make a decision on what they're going to do with that information they have just learned. Right? Now see here, this great truth here in verse 5. One God, one mediator between God and man. The man, Christ Jesus. Look at all that says. There's one God, one mediator, one person that you need to go to get in contact with God. There's only one person that you can go to get in contact with God. And that's the man, Christ Jesus. There is no other way. And all of these other religions and all these other things that people do, they're trying to please their God, whatever that is. By their sacrifices, by the works, by the things they do, by how many prayers they say, all of these things, they're trying to get in contact with their God. Remember when Elijah had the contest with the gods of Baal? And he said, maybe your God's asleep. Maybe he's out hunting. Maybe you need to holler a little louder and all these things. Because they wasn't getting any response. Well, they was trying to get response for something that's not there, dead. It's like the guy said, he's looking for a black cat in a dark room that's not even there. He ain't going to find it. Well, this is the great truth. That Jesus is the way, He is the only way, and there's only one God, and there's only one way to get there. He gave Him a ransom, testified in due time. Okay, now, here, like I said earlier, Paul was ordained a preacher and an apostle. Both. He was called by Jesus personally. To be an apostle, you have to be called by Jesus personally. You have to be a personal witness to the resurrection. And you're able to raise the dead and poisonous snakes and poisonous drinks and all those things don't affect you. There's some apostles, there's some people that claim to be apostles. Well, let's see if they can survive a little poison or a snake bite or something, you know. Let's go and see if they can raise the dead if they're an apostle. That was the qualifications of an apostle. That was the abilities of an apostle. And the inspiration of the Word of God of the New Testament came via the apostles also. It was the Old Testament prophets and the apostles that God spoke to that wrote down the Bible. And if they're going to say they're an apostle, then they're going to start saying, well, I got authority to write some words for God or something there. And they don't, because they are not apostles. There is one great apostle. But he was ordained, he was set aside a preacher. A preacher is set aside and called by God. It's not a profession you decide to get into. It's something that is specific call from God. It is as specific as your salvation in your life. And God has never called a woman to be a preacher. To be a minister, to work in the church, to help, to teach classes. All those things, great things. And they think, well, we're undermining a woman. No. God's given her some great responsibilities. And she has a lot of responsibility to take care of. But she can't be the husband of one wife. And that's one of the qualifications for her to be a preacher. Now, he says, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not. He said it twice there. A teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. Faith in truth. Now in chapter 3, verse 15 of Timothy. 1 Timothy 3:15. But if I tarry long, thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth, the church of the living God. There's lots of churches out there, but they don't have a living God. So it's not really a church by God's definition. And a pillar. The pillar is what holds something up. The pillar is a stability. The pillar is what holds the roof up, and then the ground of the truth. So the church is the foundation of the truth that is a pillar that holds up the truth. The pillars hold up the roof. You can only span so far without having something to hold up the roof. And the church is the foundation, is the ground of the truth. And then the truth is built upon that through the pillar, which is the church, that keeps the truth going. God instituted the church to keep the truth, to teach the people, to instruct them, to send them out, to start ministries, all those things. God set aside the church for that job and that specific job. And not some organization or anything else. It is the church. Any ministry that is not established through a local church is not done by God's word. Now, sometimes they get some things happening, but it's not done scriptural. The only scriptural way is through the church, which is the ground foundation and the pillar of the truth. The pillar of the truth. And Timothy was one of his preachers. Paul said he was a preacher. He was an apostle. He started churches. He spread the truth. He spread the ground. He spread the pillars around so they could start the truth and spread it out. That's what he did. Then in verse 16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Great is the mystery. Now, a mystery is not always something not known. It is explained right here. But a mystery is something that was hid in the Old Testament but revealed in the New Testament. Now here, look at this. He says, "Great, this is the great mystery. God was manifest in the flesh, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory." That is a great mystery. That's why all these other religions are doing all this stuff trying to reach their God, is because he never came down, was made flesh, and walked among them. Jesus came to us to be with us, to be a human being, to communicate with us, to talk with us, to be our mediator, to be our redemption, to be our Savior, because we couldn't get to him. So he had to come to us so we could get to God. If Jesus had never come, we couldn't get to God. He came for that reason. Some great truths here. Excellent truths here. Look at chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit, capital S, speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith. I think we're seeing some of that. Giving heed to seducing spirits, small s, the doctrines of devils. Some of what we was preaching about this morning. Speaking lies and hypocrisy. A play actor that's lying to you. Having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Now, back in the old days, and sometimes in the war and stuff, that's how they stopped a wound from bleeding and things like that, is they'd heat up an iron and stick it in the fire and burn it. Remember seeing them old John Wayne movies and all that stuff? They'd stick a knife in there and do all that stuff. You know, he'd bite on the leather or bite on a bullet or something or other, pass out and all that stuff. But listen, their conscience is seared. Their conscience is sealed over. And you can't get to it. It's sealed up. Verse 3. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Remember we said over here, bring them to the knowledge of the truth. then they have to believe it. Believe that the knowledge of the truth is truth. These are religious things that they do. Abstain from meats and do all, and don't get married and all those things. There's several religions that do that. But it's a blessing to receive to those that believe and know the truth. You know the truth and you believe it. And there's great blessings and joy that God wants you to have. Even on this side of glory. Go over to chapter 6 of 1 Timothy. Chapter 6 of Timothy. And verse 5. Now this is, all of chapter 6 is about these teaching otherwise and doing all these bad, false teachings and all those things. We're not going to read all of that. But in verse 5 it says, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds. Now stop and think about that. Perverse means wicked and vile and evil thoughts and bad things. Disputing, arguing of men of corrupt minds. You got this perverse arguing between people of corrupt minds. That is a disaster. That is a mess, and it is not going to get anywhere. They don't have anything to work with. The guy says, well, we're going to have a test about intelligence, but I don't want to, because you're handicapped, I don't want to do that. You know, they said, because you don't have any intelligence. But here, and destitute of the truth. Destitute, like a desert, dry, barren. Look what you got here. Perverse, arguing men with corrupt minds that are a desert of the truth. It's a mess. Supposing that gain is godliness. I got more than you. From such, withdraw thyself. They don't have the truth. Disputing of the truth. Arguing what the truth is. He says, withdraw yourself from those people. Stay away from them. Now go to 2 Timothy. Chapter 2. Many of you know this verse. Study this, 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, that bad word, a workman, that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Jesus, the Word, the incarnate Word. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Putting it together and dividing and coming up with something. Adding it together, deciphering and open it up. See what it says. To study. Study, study. Verse 18 of the same chapter. These people that eat up as canker, these people that were against Paul, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already and overthrown the faith of some. Somebody believed them. They erred about the truth, and people believed them. They said, he's already come, you missed it. And they believed it, erred from the truth. They didn't study the Bible. They hadn't rightly divided the word of truth, or they known he hadn't come yet. Look in verse 25 of chapter 2. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if peradventure will get, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Repentance. They oppose themselves, and God will give them a chance to repent and acknowledge the truth. If they've been denying the truth, like an evolutionist or something, they've been denying the truth, God gives them a chance to repent and say that the truth is the truth and acknowledge that it is. There's always a chance to repent. There's always a chance to get it right if they will take it. But many will not take it. Chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, verse 7. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. There it is again. The knowledge of the truth. They can't come to it. They can't get there. They're always learning. They're educated. But they don't know what the truth is. They have got their head so full of facts and information and thinking they're so smart and they're smarter than God. And they can't come to the knowledge of the truth. They're always learning. A man I used to work with later on in his life, he had a place up in the mountains back in the satellite dish days. I guess there's still some of those. And he had them pointed at different satellites and all that kind of stuff up there. And he would go out there and have his sabbatical, as he called it, and listen to all these religious channels and all these satellites and all these dishes from all these different things and getting close to God. I mean, that is ever learning and never coming to the truth. You're always learning the wrong stuff and you believe it's right because somebody on TV said it. Some people say because the internet said it, it has to be true. You can go on the internet and prove just about anything you want to prove because there's somebody out there that's got some opinion about the same thing as you do, and you can prove almost anything on the internet. Just because it's on the internet doesn't mean it's truth. Just because it's written in a book or a magazine doesn't mean it's a truth. But even if you buy it in the Christian bookstore, I use that term loosely, but if you read the Bible, the true Word of God, then you know you've got the truth. Somebody said, why should you read what somebody else says about the Bible before you've read the Bible? But sometimes we're too lazy to do that. Okay, verse 8. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so to these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Their minds are corrupt. Some of these people have gotten so far away from God, so far into these false truths and everything else, they are beyond the truth. Their conscience is seared with a hot iron, and they have said no so many times, God can't get to them anymore. Look in 4:4 in 2 Timothy. Well, let's look in verse 1. Let's get all this in context here. Chapter 4, verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, this is his charge to Timothy. Who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. That's what preaching is about. We always preach about whatever. It's all about, there has to be reprove, there has to be rebuke, and then there's exhortation, then there's lifting up with the doctrine, long suffering with the doctrine. Verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Make me feel good. Make me feel happy. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. They don't want the truth. They don't like the truth. And they're going to turn their ways away from the truth. You just tell me something that makes me feel good. A lot of these mega churches, they are instructed not to teach doctrine. They are not to teach doctrine. The truth. In John chapter 18, when Jesus was with Pilate and he was interrogating him, and Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou king indeed? 18:37. Thou sayest that I am king. To this end was I born, and for this cause I came into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate said unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and said unto them, I find in him no fault at all. Pilate knew that he didn't know the truth. Because he didn't. He says, what is truth? The Romans believed they worshiped Caesar. And Zeus and Jupiter and all that other stuff. Mythology. The Greeks and the Romans. One called him Zeus, one called him Jupiter. But they all worshiped their same little idol. And Caesar was a god. And Caesar had his name and face on all the money and all these things. Pilate didn't know. He knew it wasn't truth. But he didn't know what the truth was. And he was standing right in the room with the truth. But he was so corrupted and so messed up and all this other stuff. What if Pilate had become a Christian? The Roman government, you're out of here. He would have lost his position, his money, and everything else. Some people are not willing to do that. In the first chapter of John, it says, verse 14, And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He is the truth. He is the truth. And John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And John 8:32. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. No matter what someone thinks, they must repent and acknowledge the truth. That is the only way to be truly free. Because otherwise, they're lost, they're under the bondage of sin, and they're on their way to hell. That doesn't sound like freedom to me. The founding fathers of this nation stood upon the principles of the Bible. I mean, their names and their sayings, and Moses is in Washington, D.C., a big statue of Moses, because he was a lawgiver. That may not all been Christians, but they all knew the Bible was right, and they knew that that was their foundation, and that's one of the major reasons they left England, was to be free. Many people have given their life and their blood on foreign lands and everywhere else so we could be a free nation. If it wasn't for them, we wouldn't have the nation that we have today. But this freedom that was given was a freedom to choose. Someone says one time, you have the freedom to be wrong. But that doesn't make it right. You have to come to the knowledge of the truth. One of the things when you're witnessing to people and talking to people is, do you believe the Bible? Do you believe God? Then you've got something to work with. You need to realize that you are on the winning side. They go into sports, and I seen that car race on the news today, and that guy flipped that car all around and never crazy and everything else that was on the news. He's alive. But you know what? They didn't know who was going to win that race. Everybody thought they was going to win it. Everybody wanted to win it. They got this big basketball tournament going on. Everybody wants to win it. All these things. If they go into a game, they're planning on winning, but they don't know who's going to win, whether it's golf or whatever it is. But you see, we looked at the end of the book. We know who wins. And we're on the winning side. We are standing upon the rock of the truth. And no matter what happens anywhere in this nation, world, or universe, it cannot make the truth not true. The truth will always be the truth. 2 plus 2 is always going to be 4. Even in the new math, 2 plus 2 is 4. It always will be and always has been. That is a fact. That is the truth. The truth is, Jesus is the only way. He's the only mediator between God and man. Man is the man, Christ Jesus. That's the truth. I am the way of the truth. That is the truth. You have the truth. You know you have the truth. When I used to be imagining in a shop and selling transmissions and stuff to people, then they needed them. It wasn't a problem for me to sell a transmission to someone that needed it. Because I knew, and I believed it, and I knew it was right. It wasn't a problem. Now, there's other people that didn't always make the boss happy that way. But I slept good at night. When you know the truth, you have the confidence that what you're saying is the truth. And you cannot be talked out of it. And you know what you have is right. You know you're correct. You know. And they need to understand the knowledge of the truth. That needs to be your goal. Is stand on what you have. No matter what happens Monday, Jesus is still on the throne next to God. No matter what happens Tuesday, someday the trumpet's going to sound and we're going to go home. No matter what happens Wednesday, we're going to get a new body, able to walk in heaven with Jesus. No matter what happens on Thursday, if you die, you're going to be with Jesus. No matter what happens, He's going to be forever. And you will be too. So remember that. Some days it's hard to remember that. As I've reminded Byron several times, what he's looking there is not his mama. That's all we. That's just what we knew her as. She's gone. He says, yeah, I know. And I say, I don't know how people can go through a time like that without knowing the truth. I don't understand that. I think that's why some people don't go through it too well. They come apart. Mourning and grief and tears and all that, there's nothing wrong with that. If you didn't have some of that, I'd worry about you. But we have to hang on to that truth in the hard times. People are losing jobs and all kinds of things. But you got to hang on to that truth. We may be all living in the church, who knows? But hang on to that truth. And hard times, many times, brings people to God. Sometimes. But you hang on to the truth that you have, and you know, and don't ever forget who you are, and what you know, and what is right. Because it always will be right. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to have a time of invitation. As I always say, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Don't let this world shake you up. Don't let the turmoils and the politics and the bankers and all this stuff shake your world. They say they'll give you a car loan even if you don't deserve one. Well, that's what we got into now because of all of that, you know. I mean, it's just, duh. Listen, stand on the truth. God will take care of you. He promises. David said, I've been old and I've been young, and I've never seen the righteous begging for bread. He takes care of you. Dear Jesus, we just ask that you'll guide us and direct us and strengthen us. Let us stand for you and be proud of who we are because you adopted us. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.